Thank you for joining me today in MX Asian American, or Mixis Asian American. If you don't know, MX or Mixis represents the gender-neutral presentation of Miss or Mr. My name is Karen Zhang, and I will be your host, guiding you through the Asian diasporic experience with an emphasis on the Asian American experience. Enjoy the show! Welcome back, everyone, to MX Asian American. Today we have Maria. You want to introduce yourself first to the listeners?
Yes, greetings, everyone. My name is Maria Kamya. I am a Filipino-American theater artist, fashion designer, and introspective hypnosis practitioner. I live in New York, and I create spiritual sci-fi, puppet theater, and more. Yes, thank you for having me.
I'm sure it sounds very woo-woo to some listeners.
Let it be.
Today, we're going to dive deep into it. So could you tell us a little bit about how and where you grew up?
Yes, I grew up in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Born in Virginia. I'm the youngest of two. I have one older sister. Parents are Filipino. I didn't realize how lucky I was when I grew up, because there were a lot of art programs, like special art programs for children. So throughout like elementary school to high school, I was in like a visual or visual performing arts run school.
So I guess like from a young age, you were already interested kind of in visual performance, that space?
Oh, when I only wanted to be an artist. Like when I looked at the questions, I go, oh yeah, I remember back in kindergarten, the first thing that they do is, who do you want to be when you grow up? And then,
yeah, exactly.
And then I drew artists. So it's been set, but I didn't learn how to express myself until college. It's a little shy gal, little braces and glasses girl.
Yeah, well, how did you sort of, because I'm also very introverted and like reserved person. So how did you kind of like, I guess, break out of your shell and like learn to express yourself?
Oh, the Filipino club in my college, my roommate was like president of the Filipino club in high school. And then we went to college, and then she introduced me to the Filipino club in like Virginia Commonwealth. Hello, shout out to Fact. And then from there, I did spoken word with her because she saw that I could talk. And then I ended up being like a co-chair for the culture night shows, because there's this one show that all the Filipinos work up to my junior year, and then I also helped out with it in my senior year. And then I was like, oh, I'm hooked on funny. I wanted to be a director by that point. And I would always say, oh my God, look at all these people. Look at all the things that you could do with this big group of people. Like, what is the potential of that? And I want to discover what that is.
Well, first I got to say, I love your voice.
Oh, thank you.
It's so, I don't know. It's so mesmerizing.
I had to learn how to talk like, was it like a radio R&B DJ? Because during the pandemic, I learned introspective hypnosis. And he's like, you talk too strong. Like you need to talk like this. So I'm like, I range from like yelling high pitched to like radio DJ. So I'll give you, we'll see. You'll see everything.
We'll have a whole performance here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like going to college, even in high school, you had found your community. Do you think that's true to say?
Well, I had a community in Virginia, but then after Virginia, I didn't want to go back home and live with my parents because that would be dangerous. So I made sure that I would move to New York. And then when I moved there, I mean, it's like, you don't know anyone. I just had like, I was dating one person and he was my only friend until I went to until I learned about grad school. I learned about Sarah Lawrence, and then from there, that's when I found community. It took a while.
Yeah, but how did you decide to go to grad school?
Because, well, my mom, she would always say, "You need to go to grad school." That's how she talks. "You need to go to grad school." She's a Thailand, I'm just kidding. But then I didn't know of a grad school program, but I did an internship. I did an internship, and then I met someone who went to Sarah Lawrence. And then I thought, oh my God, that sounds amazing. Sounds like the ticket. And then I visited the school, and the professor there knew my professor in Virginia. So it's like it was
Oh,
really
wow.
synchronistic. Yeah. So I'm
Yeah.
like, okay, just, I gotta do this. Like I it,
Sounds
it's
like
like
fate.
fate, yes. It's all decided.
But what did you study at Sarah Lawrence? Because I want to go to grad school too, but in poetry. And I know a lot of poets who have went to Sarah Lawrence, but I don't know any other programs there, so please educate me on what you
Oh,
studied.
yeah, I did theater. At the end of the year, or at the end of the 2 years, you have to make a solo show. So, but then you can also get the opportunity to like lead your own show with all the grad undergrads.
Oh,
So I was like, oh, I mean, and then you don't have to pay
wow.
them. Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
Free labor.
Free labor. It's the institution. But I remember there was poetry, and then there's dance therapy also.
Oh,
Sure, were there other things? I think there are other things like child development, but
wow.
I stayed with the theater people.
That's super cool. So, like, once you graduated, how did you kind of like enter the industry?
Industry, I'm not really. Really, I think I'm the industry. Am I in the industry? Well, okay. Here, I will say, I remember this is one of your questions. It's like when I was still in Virginia doing my major in sculpture, I chose sculpture because I didn't have to choose anything specific, like communication arts or illustration. I would love to do that, but just doing that one thing of drawing, I felt like it was undermining the art that I wanted to make. So then everything I made as a sculpture piece turned into a puppet or a performance or like a, yeah, like a art performance of me like walking down in a weird costume. So then from that, there was another teacher grad who told me about bread and puppet theater. And then also the sculpture grad program had a art show, group art show in Brooklyn that a lot of the undergrad went to. And then the same weekend, there was also a thing called Labapalooza at St. Anne's Warehouse, where there was a showing, like a festival showing of different residents who were creating a puppet piece. And then from there, like I saw, there are like two people I saw, Nick Lahane and Michael Kikuchi, their pieces. And I was like, this is what I want to do. Oh, like get me in on here. So then I would say from the very beginning of when I moved to New York, I was already starting to seed myself in the puppet community, which is a very like I would say genuine. We're a bunch of grown adults who play with dolls. Like you can say like that's the simple way to say it. I mean, it's definitely more than that, like, but that's just like the silly way to undermine the work that I do.
Oh no.
But then from there, it's just like, and then the professor at Sarah Lawrence was also puppetry, so it's like the niche is so specific in New York for me. And then slowly, like now I know the majority of the puppet people who do more like experimental than say, what's it called? Like monitor puppetry.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounded like when you first started to do like your sculpture art in Virginia that one medium is not enough for you to express yourself.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, and then so you kind of like expanded and wanted more. And I love your every single step that you took, I feel like got you to where you were now, you are now.
I was listening to another one. I listened to Dr. Tony, the one turned into an artist, doctor turned to artist. And then I was like, oh my God. It like the whole idea of not being able to do the art because it's frowned upon in the Asian community.
Right.
And then I think so much about this. And then I realized that what I believe is that the only reason why I wasn't really questioned too much to do my art is because when I was in kindergarten, I won first place in this coloring contest with
Oh,
like
wow.
I just my sister at, we're like at Target and my sister's like, oh, look at these glitter crayons. So then I colored it in glitter. And then first prize is $100. So what?
Whoa,
When a little 5-year-old gets $100, you know the aunties are gonna be like, oh, she's special. You know, let's invest in her. But if I didn't get no $100, would I be here today? I don't know. I really don't know.
it's fate.
It's really so. I'm just like, oh, well, there you go. That's what it is. What was your question?
Well, no, you're good. So did you have like I guess any difficulties in the beginning? I guess like moving to New York, getting used to the lifestyle, I bet, the changes, and like in the industry as well.
Oh, great question. I mean, I moved to New York with like one luggage. I was living in Chinatown in the railroad apartment. The two bedrooms were on the end, and then I was like in this odd room in the middle. And then I would use cardboard boxes as my drawer. You know, it was just like real humble beginnings. Still
Yay.
humble now, you know? And then but then I was so like lit to be in a place with 1,000 billion people. So then I'm just like, all right, we're gonna live the dream, we're gonna do it. You know, I just had that passion. But then I mean I worked at Uniqlo and then I would think, is this it? Is this all it's gonna be? They're like, and then oh, there's one time when I moved to Yonkers for grad school and then I say, you know what? I'm not gonna work anymore. I'm gonna sell my art. I'm gonna live off my art drawings. And I was like, oh, that didn't work out. But I ended up just
Oh
being
my
like a,
God.
but then I found on Indeed like a Muse Paint Bar paint and sip instructor. So then I was like, oh, well, that's a great ass job for a little Maria yelling at people how to paint, you know, and everyone's drunk. What's the difficulties I would say now is that because I started in visual art, you are the one who creates the whole picture. But then when it comes to theater, it's about community and delegating more than you just doing everything. I have, since I've been doing this for like 10 years now, I have trouble on my own to let go of tasks and give it to other people. One, because people cost money. You have to pay people now. But then also, like, I have a friend who's like, well, what if you had to choose one of the things that you do? Because I always direct, I always write the play, I design the show, I make all the puppets. Too much. So then they're like, what would you do? And I said, directing. But also, it's like, I need the story. I need to tell this story that I'm making. Because if I'm not seeing the work I want to see, then I need to make it. But like just figuring that out and just like making sure to have strict boundaries when I'm working with people and like how to keep professionalism when there's spiciness within the group, how to like whip and lay down the law and not be too kind. Like there's so many,
Right.
oh,
A
it's the
lot of
growing
leadership.
pain.
Oh yeah, a lot of leadership skills for sure.
Yeah.
And I think as a creative myself, like I like have control issues maybe. But I would not, like I cannot have somebody else make part of what I'm making. I don't know. So I understand that for sure.
Yo, it's a lot of trust. It's a lot
Yeah,
of
I
trust,
know.
and it's like trust putting my ego aside, Because we all got
Right.
them egos.
Yes, for sure.
But then, like, for me, I always would think, okay, well, what serves the peace? We are all coming together to make this peace. I've been creating this world called Arikama for like 10 years now. Me only doing it, and then me relinquishing control and just letting it's like the world has grown so big that it'll take anyone's effort, not even my own. It's like it's alive. Like this thing that has been created is so alive that if I am dying in like building puppets or trying to fix the script, someone else just like keeps it up.
I like that image. Very beautiful. So, how did you come to like build this team that you have now?
How did I come to build? Oh, it just came naturally. It's like you graduate from grad school. You learn that everything's collaboration, but then now you get to choose who you work with. So then it's like there's something that says in theater, you can be bad, but you'll just never get hired again. So like making sure you keep a good work ethic or self for your community, because it's all you have. Like the community is all we got. But then over time, then I started the undergrad. They all also live in New York. So then you just like call them. And then they're like, yeah, of course, we'll call. And then, or sometimes, and then when an undergrad friend that already worked on my show is post one of my show, one of my one person shows, then they will, one of my people found me through someone's story. So it's like, it's just all
Oh, connections.
connections. Yeah, the tree system.
I'm really curious of what your creative process is like. Like, do you write the story first? Do you make the puppets first? Like, do you have a set process? What does it look like?
The first thing I like to do is just say, what do I say? Oh, I just want to like come up with what I want the whole show to be like. So I want it to be fun. I want it to be playful. I want to empower the people to trust in themselves more than their outside world and to be like this epic show or something. Or there are some times when I just make like I could. It's like you work. I can work intuitively. If I'm writing a play, then I am more careful in structuring it so that there's an arc, or the it follows like the eight steps of the hero's journey of like Joseph Campbell. So it depends. Like recently, right now, I was trying to work on this piece. This thing in January that I'm doing. And then I'm like, I'm gonna do this other show for this. But then this whole other like play just started to move through me. So just trusting what feels good, honestly. And then making sure that whatever I make is communicated correctly to the audience, and so that they don't feel like I'm going over their head, because I usually go over people's heads. But like how do you hold their hand and like give them a drink and then maybe a little snack? So there's that. There's like so many things. There's so many ways to do it. And then editing.
No.
I'll go ahead.
Revision is a very, very big part of the process for sure. But yeah, I don't know, creativity is just so fluid in general. So I feel like the process is kind of like meandering at times.
Oh my God, yes, for sure. A lot of rabbit holes.
My Google search history. I'm really curious about how you got to doing, what is it called? Introspective hypnosis.
Yes. Oh, well, you said earlier, woo things are my favorite. Oh, that's all I everything in this world, it makes no sense to me. I'm like, what? Taxes? War? What is that? But like all this other spirit stuff, oh my
Ooh, wait,
God.
hold on. Give me a second. What sign are you?
What's that?
I
What do you think I am?
think you're an air sign.
Oh my God. Okay. So in Western, I'm a Libra. But then in Vedic
Oh.
Indian astrology, I'm Virgo. We
Huh.
can go by whichever you want me to be. I mean, I'm like Libra, Aries, Moon, Aries, Rising. So that hot fart. It's floating in the sky. Or the opposite, just
I
like a
love
cat.
the description, hot fire.
Hot fart. I'm just like, I need grounding. Come back down.
I
Come back.
know. Interesting. You're just a hot air balloon.
Yeah, everyone. But I want to land. I need to land. I've been working on like rooting myself into this reality because I love everything that like people think are scary. But was
Yeah.
it 2017? I saw this woman named Alba Weinman on YouTube, who had it's like just a video of a person like sleeping, and then they're just saying, "Oh yeah, I'm this tall," and because they're going into like a past reality, past life, but you don't have to do it like that. But anyway, in the video, there's the woman just says, "There's something in my stomach," and then the instructor is like, "Okay, well, let's bring that energy up, 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 up. Hi, who is it?" And then you find out that the energy inside her stomach that's making her feel bad is a person who passed away in like the 1950s who was stabbed. So he's hurting her the same way he got killed. And then I was like, what the
Oh
fuck
my
is this?
gosh.
Yeah, it was scary. It's some scary
Oh
shit. So but then because it was so scary, I was like, well, what the hell is that? What are we, what is this? Like, what is not common knowledge that we're just denying and too scared to look at? So then during COVID, I took a introspective hypnosis class because she and another instructor were leading it. Oh my God, that is crazy. It's amazing. So now I do it. It's my favorite thing.
Wow.
I wouldn't say psychic surgery, but it's definitely me facilitating people into their past, into their childhood, where something didn't go nice. And looking at it from a different perspective, and also giving them, making the person give themselves that love that they wanted, say from their mom or their dad, just through themselves. Or like if they went back at their age now, going back to them at like 5, what would you do for yourself at that time? And just giving it to you. 'Cause there's so much like we're so saturated with appearance, but if we looked at the energy within ourselves, it's like trashed. Like I would say the majority of the world is just trashed, and me wanting to assist in that with individuals and using hypnosis, because we're all like when you're on your phone scrolling, you're gone, you're in hypnosis, you're in a trance, and just making it so not scary and taboo, but accepted way to allow ourselves to have the courage to look within and to release what no longer serves us, and then moving forward, know how to do that on our own without another person.
I love that. It's kind of like healing your younger self, like just looking within. And yeah, but I feel like that story that you told me about that YouTube video is so creepy, but also like true, because I also believe that all of us are connected in some way, like dead or alive. And you talked about like taboo, so now I'm gonna ask, like, what have you faced any stigma from practicing this, or even like your theater work as well? Like, have you faced any stigma or like people being like, huh? Yeah.
Oh, like question, like what the
Like,
fuck are you
what?
talking about? Oh,
Yeah.
absolutely. I mean, like I live on. I feel like I'm a person who lives in between, like physical and spiritual realities. So I know where I stand. It is not my job to convince people who are not ready for this. If they are not ready, well then live your life. But if for the ones who are, I am there for them to answer their questions and to help them discover what they need to live a fruitful existence. So if anyone like, don't take it personal, that's it. I mean, that's basically it. I mean, I feel like I am such a, I'm so playful, but also if you're gonna come into my world, you're gonna have to go deep because I live at the bottom of the ocean. So if you can't, if they can't mess with me, then they just won't be, they won't just, they won't come to, they won't be vibratorily attracted to me.
Ivator.
Like I want to attract the people who just like, you know,
Oh my
I
God,
mean,
I love
don't,
that word,
yeah.
vibrator.
I was like, what's the word? It's just something's just coming out. Let's just say it.
Oh gosh. Yeah, no, I love that. I love that outlook on life.
I can't, because I think before I would always try to convince people,
Right.
and then they would just hate me or get mad or like not want to talk. So,
Yeah. Because I recently I've had multiple experiences that required me to explain to people what doing poetry is like, and also why I want to get a master's. And it's just so disheartening to explain, because a lot of people who like ask just don't understand. Like, they think poetry is like songs or like rhyme or etc. Yeah. And I feel like I just need to get to a place emotionally where I am like, I'm just going to say my part. And if you don't get it, then that's on you.
No, for sure. Poetry is, they're spells. It's the arts are so undervalued, but everyone needs it. And we have to be the ones who are courageous enough to do the work that people are too scared to do. Or else what? We're just, you're just, it's just surface. It's all like smiles and pain, like hidden pain. You're like, fuck everyone. Come on, Karen. We got work to do. We can't.
Yes, let's go.
Let's go. Come on, Georgia. We don't have time. We don't have time. You know, there's no more time to sit around and like try to please another person because I'm learning this myself. The moment I need validation from someone else, I have lost. I've already lost.
Oh.
I'm a loser if I need that validation outside of me. If I need someone to tell me how good I
Yeah.
am or whatever it is, I'm like, why do you need that? Like, and then you realize that's just the human condition. That's just how we were raised. That's religion. Always thinking it's outside of you. And then, but then now it's like, no, you
Comes from
choose what you
within.
want to do. Because the moment your poetry and you are like being a boss, successful, whatever in their eyes, but or to you, then they'll be like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. You
Oh,
know?
exactly. Yeah,
It's
yeah,
too much. It's.
yeah.
We know this. We know this by now. I mean, but then like the effort to be
Logically,
like,
we know this.
I would say though, like whenever it's when I need that from outside, I'm always just like, I'm like giving myself that love that I want. What do you need from them? Oh, I want this. Okay, give it to yourself right now. Give yourself that comfort. Like I always do, like energy, like you know, like in a video game, you see the life.
HP, yeah.
The HP. So then it's like, how do you just give that to yourself? Or like imagining gold light coming into my heart, or like breaking, I do this, like breaking every glass, like the glass ceiling or whatever, breaking it in my body, breaking those the things in my head and just like breathing it in.
I love that. I love the visualization too. I think it's really helpful too. But yeah, just giving what you need to yourself. Yeah, I love that. Well, I feel like I sat through a therapy session. Thank you,
Oh,
Maria.
it's an honor. It's an
I feel so good.
Well, I'm glad.
But that's all my questions for today. But thank you so much for like coming on the show, sharing what you do. Where can listeners find you if they want to talk to you?
Oh my God. You can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is the Mari comma THEM as in Maria A. RICAMA, or my website www.marikama.com.
Awesome. And I will link those in the show notes too, so it's easier for people to find. But yeah, thank you, Maria, again.
Yeah, you want, if you want ever want a hypnosis, you just let me know. Let's go.